So glad that you all chose to worship with us this evening as we really celebrate our Savior's birth. It's something we as a church do routinely because it's the greatest story that's ever been told. And so when it comes to doing Christmas Eve services, I love Christmas Eve services because I love telling of the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done on our behalf. But the challenge for a Christmas Eve service much like this is that it's difficult to be creative. Because you know the story that we're going to tell. If you've been in church at all, you're going to have heard this story before, but it's worth telling this story all over again. Because when something is so good and something is so great, the story needs to be told. And there are several accounts of this story. As a matter of fact, for generations, people were awaiting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were awaiting the coming of the Messiah that was going to save people from their sins. And one of the accounts that you heard tonight was from Luke's gospel in chapter 2. And I'd like to read it to you so that you can hear the entire story in context. And in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says this, "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" And really what we see in this story, we see an announcement. We see an announcement that comes from the angel, and this is an announcement of good news. It's an announcement of good news. Now, what is good news? Good news is simply good news. It means I want to hear this. I need to hear this. Good news can look different for different people. For some of you, good news is a raise at work or a promotion. Good news can be she said yes. Good news can be he asked me to marry him. Good news can be we're expecting. Good news can be we're not expecting. I mean, there's good news that can come in all sorts of different forms, right? And when good news happens, we have the tendency to want to tell other people of the good news that has happened. And this news that we're talking about on the night that Christ came into the world was such good news that an angel of the Lord came to announce this news to a group of shepherds in a field. Now just imagine this. An angel of the Lord was in the presence of God the Father Almighty and was dispatched to come and announce the coming of the King. And every time we see angels in the Bible show up, usually the first words out of their mouth are this: "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." Why? Because when an angelic being from the presence of God comes into the universe in such a way that the naked eye can see this glorious being, that's what they have to say. I mean, we see it at the resurrection of Jesus, where basically the SEAL Team 6 of the day that had guarded the tomb was there when an angel came and sat and rolled the stone away. And what's he saying? Do not be afraid, right? So this is what's going on here. Now, it's interesting. Like, why would they announce this good news to shepherds? Now, I said in the 2 o'clock service today, I've never met a shepherd. I mean, normally when I talk to people, I say, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" Never had somebody say, "I'm a shepherd," right? After the 2 o'clock service, a woman stopped me afterwards and she said, "I used to be a shepherdess." So you can tell someone that you've met a shepherd now, right? Now, it's interesting that God dispatched this angel to tell shepherds because shepherds weren't the elite of society. Shepherds were the lowly of society. I mean, when God came into the universe, the way that he was announced was by an angel to shepherds, to super ordinary people. But the uniqueness of this good news is that even Jesus in his earthly ministry in John chapter 10, he refers to himself as what? The good shepherd. And here's what he said: "My sheep know my voice. I call them by name. I lead them out." That's what a shepherd does. It goes on to say in John chapter 10 that a hireling or a hired hand, when a wolf comes or danger comes, they'll run away, but not a shepherd. The good shepherd will even lay down his life for the sheep. What was happening here?
God the Father was announcing to the world through an angelic being that the Savior had been born in Bethlehem. And it was really good news. And here's why it was good news. Because Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's who he came for. See, the Bible makes clear all throughout. If you've read the Bible at all, it can sometimes make you feel uncomfortable because you don't measure up. You read about a perfect God made of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you read about how you don't measure up. Here's what God wants you to be, and you're coming up short every single time. The good news is this: what you couldn't do to get right with God, God did to make you right with him. That Jesus coming signified God with us. Signified, this is great news. We didn't know what God was like. Now we get to see him, fully God and fully man in tangible form. And not only do we get to see how he interacts and shows love to all people, but he's coming on very purpose to die on the cross for all of our sins. It's good news. It's good news. And yes, we miss it sometimes. I was sharing the gospel, this good news with a friend of mine this week. And we were having lunch at a barbecue place, and I pulled out a napkin, and I started explaining to him Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I explained to him what sin was, how he had missed the mark, and he wasn't perfect, and what he earns for his sin is death, that he's going to die just like everybody else. And I said, but God gave a gift, and the gift is the gift of his Son. And in the Son, we have eternal life. And a gift doesn't come with a price tag. I mean, if you wake up tomorrow morning, there's gifts around your Christmas tree and they have an invoice on them, they're not a gift. Right? You owe somebody something for that one. Right? A gift means it's yours. It's already been paid for. It's already been taken care of. And the good news is God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world to pay the gift for us. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he gave his life so that while we couldn't get to God, God came looking for us. And as I was sharing with this friend, he said to me, I believe that. I don't reject any of that. And I realized that he believed the facts, but it didn't seem to have ownership in his heart. And then we were sitting at this restaurant, so I said, hey, what about this booth over there? I said, you know, on a scale of 0 to 100, if you went and sat in that booth over there, what percent do you believe that it would hold you up if you went and sat in it? He said, 200%. I said, you're 200% certain if you sat in that chair, it would hold you up. He said, absolutely. I said, well, let me ask you this. How much faith are you placing in that booth? And he said, well, zero. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, you can hear the story of Christ and you can know all sorts of facts about him, but the question becomes, is it personal to you? See, it's not just good news. He said, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. I mean, the application of this good news is great joy. It means I've received something that makes me excited. It's something that's personal to me. Right? So when I got engaged to my wife, right, we were alongside of this waterfront, and I gave her this ring. She was shocked. She didn't know I was going to ask her to marry her that soon. And she's looking at the ring and she's doing one of these. And then she got all excited and she tackled me. And we're kind of laughing about this. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, so? Like, where are we at here? She's like, yes, absolutely yes. And I love telling that story. And to me, it's personal and I remember it. And it. But if every time I met you, I told you about that great story. Did I ever tell you about when I got engaged to my wife? Let me tell you again. You would get so tired of that story. And the reason is it doesn't have personal application for you. It doesn't mean anything for you. You can be excited for me, but only for so long. And here's the truth. It's good news of great joy. Jesus came so that you could experience his life and experience it abundantly. He came personally for each one of you. And if you've just heard the story of the gospel, but you've never experienced the story of the gospel, it can be a little bit frustrating. Even as I was preparing this message, I was talking to my brother as I was putting this together, and I was like, hey, can you think of any stories like in your life where somebody's like over-promised and under-delivered, and there was a promise of something good, but you never ever received it? And he's like, yeah, you told me you were going to take me to a Broncos game, and you've never taken me. I said, hey, great illustration. Merry Christmas. You're going next Sunday to see the Chargers. So, right, I mean, we know that when something's been promised, but we don't experience it, we don't have the great joy on the inside. Or we've been told how great something is, and we try to experience it, and it's not very good. A number of years ago when I was in high school, our family went with a group of other families. I lived in Illinois. We went to Wisconsin for vacation. And one night, everybody kept talking about this thing we were going to have for dinner one night. You got to go to this. It's called a fish boil. You got to go to the fish boil. It's unbelievable. It's the best dinner you'll ever have. I'm like, well, what's that? And I'm like, you'll see. It's going to be incredible. So all these families, we went to this fish boil, and we got there, and there was like picnic tables outside with fish and water in a bucket that they just heated and boiled it. I'm like, well, what do? Like, we throw the fish in. I had a cheeseburger. Right? And even the people that had the fish were saying, it's not all that great, right? Because when somebody says it's good, but then I don't experience the goodness of it, then what good is all that? See, here's the gospel. It's good news of great joy. Because when Christ came, he not only fulfilled the law, he died for all of your sins. So that you never have to wonder, does God really love me? You never have to wonder, did God really pay for all my sins? You never have to wonder, does God really love me? Because the Bible says that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Not only did he die and was buried in a grave, but 3 days later he rose from the dead. He's as alive as he's ever been. And he's offering life to all who believe in his name. And get this, the eternal life that God offers, it doesn't begin when you die. The eternal life Christ offers begins when you confess him as your own personal Lord and Savior. When you acknowledge your need for him. Now, most of us don't acknowledge our need. And the reason most of us don't acknowledge our need is we think we have it all put together. We can figure this stuff out. And even when we get into a hard time, We just find other people that may be able to help us, pay money for other things that seem like they're going to be able to help us, but ultimately they don't change us from the inside out. Jesus Christ came so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Think about this. For those of you who are sick, right? You're sick. Why did Jesus Christ come? He came as a healer. And sometimes we get to experience the presence of Jesus Christ healing on this side of heaven. But here's true of everyone who ever knows him. He always heals the sick. That's what he does. Or how about this? For those who have been wounded, why did Jesus Christ come? Jesus Christ came to bring comfort and compassion to those who had been hurt. Or how about those who are sinners? Why did Christ come? Christ came to give and extend mercy and offer forgiveness no matter what you've done. And the Bible points out even this, that while we haven't physically died yet, that we're all dead living apart from Christ. And why did Christ come? He came as the eternal Son of God, the eternal life, to give us life in our deadness. Right? The reason that you do the things you do are because you're dead in your sins. And the reason that you act those things out is because internally you have a need for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the news that was being announced here on the night of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. It was good news of great joy. And notice this, third thing, it's global. It's for all the people. Jesus Christ's grace is not just limited to a certain type of person. It's not limited to a certain skin color or a gender or a socioeconomic background or a nationality. Jesus Christ came for the world. So that's the beauty of this. He came personally for each and every one of you. The reason that he was willing to come was to demonstrate his love for you. Now, it's really interesting because when Jesus comes and the angel announces, hey, here he is. He's been born in Bethlehem, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. I mean, isn't it interesting how Jesus made his grand entrance into the world? Announced by an angelic being to tell shepherds, check this out, there's a baby in a feeding trough over in Bethlehem. You may want to go check it out. That's what you've been looking for your whole life. And people would say, well, that's not kind of what I've been looking for. I'm looking for something better. I mean, change me now, change me now, change me now. No, you got to understand that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, humbled himself and was willing to come in poverty, born in a manger, placed in that feeding trough, that cement feeding trough, so that the world would know that in his humility, he was truly coming as king. He came humbly. It's good news of great joy for all people. I never get tired of telling the story. I try to share the story somehow, some way in every message that I share because it's the hope of the world. I mean, what we need to be reminded of tonight in Christ's coming is just how much God loves us because none of us have got that message too much. I've yet to meet the person that says, quit telling me how loved I am. I get it way too much. All of us, especially when it comes to spiritual things, we start measuring ourselves and realize, I know I don't measure up. And I know that God can't possibly love me unconditionally. And here's the response that we get at Christmas time. Oh, yes, he does. Not only did Christ come for you, but God demonstrated his love for you in that while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Because the older that we get, the more we realize how terminal we are. The older we get, the more we realize we're just here for a moment. That in a blink of an eye, that all of us will be gone. And are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to tell you, he loves you with an unconditional love. And he wants you to be ready, not living in terror of him, maybe in fear and reverence and awe of him, but not in terror of him. And here's what I would tell you. If one angel of the Lord is enough to cause a group of shepherds to be terrified, what's it going to be like when the fullness of Jesus Christ comes on the scene? It's going to be unbelievable, right? And so here's why he came. First time he came as a humble baby born in a manger so that the world would know that God was willing to humble himself so that we who were broken could experience the fullness of who God is. That's what we're celebrating here. And then we're also celebrating the fact that that baby in the manger is and was and will always be the God of the universe who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead and offers life to all who believe in his name. That's the Jesus we serve. It's good news of great joy for all the people. It's global. And how do you get it? You get it by grace. It's all grace. See, for many people, when they come into church, they think falsely that heaven is for good people and hell is for bad people. If heaven was for good people, it would be empty. Because we compare ourselves wrongly. We compare ourselves to other people, and whatever we measure, we tend to measure the things that make us look better. But when we compare ourselves to a perfect, immortal, eternal God, we all come up short. And so when we compare ourselves to that God, then we are terrified because we're like, if God only takes perfect, holy people, I'm never getting in there. And God says, you're right, apart from my help. But God the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So while you couldn't get to God, God came on a rescue mission looking for you. And it's all grace. It's not by you trying to prove to God that you're worthy of being picked or proving to God that you deserve to be selected. It's by just receiving his grace. It's by recognizing you're a sinner. It's by believing that Christ died and rose. And it's by confessing him as your personal Lord and Savior. See, you've got to make this a personal thing. It can't just be, well, I go to church some, or I hang around church people, and I'm sure my good will outweigh my bad. No, God only takes perfect people, and here's the message that he wants you to understand tonight. He came for you. He was willing to humble himself for you. He was willing to take his time so that you would possibly come to know him. And for some of you here tonight, that's never been something that's personal in your life. Now hear me clearly on this. When I talk about the birth of Christ and his coming into the world, I'm not asking you to join Brave Church. I'm just not. I'm not asking you to get religion, and I'm not asking you to behave any different. What I am saying is I want you to know on the authority of God's word that Jesus Christ came for you, and you can have the gift of eternal life simply by believing in his name. That's why we celebrate Christ in this church, because we all realize that there's not one of us that's good enough to get to God, but that God in his mercy was so good to come after us. And when the angel told them that it'll be a sign to them, they'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Notice what happened next. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Now, I don't know how much a multitude is, but it's a lot. If they were scared of just one angel, what would have happened when multitudes showed up? Right? A multitude of angels showed up. Now, why would angels be so excited about what's going on? Here's why, because they were there in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin crept into the world, and there was a group of people who were dead and dying with no hope for the future, with only the promise of God's coming through redemption. And now the God they had spent all their time with from their creation as angelic beings had been placed on planet Earth. And one angel comes and announces it, and there's such excitement in heaven that humanity can finally be redeemed, that multitude of angels start showing up and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You have peace with God. How do you get the peace? You get the peace by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's how. You can have peace with God. You can have in this moment right now complete peace with God. You can leave this place tonight knowing without a shadow of a doubt, I have peace with God. It's nothing I've done. God did all the work, and here's what I did. I just took the gift. Right? Some of you are going to receive gifts tomorrow. Some of you are going to give gifts tomorrow. Right? It's joyous when you see somebody take a gift that they recognize what it is, and they're excited about it, and they rip the thing open, and they can't get it open quick enough. This is what I've always wanted. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Because compared to any gift you could ever get, there's no gift greater than the gift of God the Father sending his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And not only is he willing to make his home with you and invest his eternal life in you now, but he's willing to indwell you with his Holy Spirit so that you can experience ongoing joy. Oh, how I wish I could promise you, if you trust Jesus, your life's going to be great. You're always going to have enough money. You'll never have any health problems. As a matter of fact, I'd probably tell you just the opposite. But here's what I can tell you. With Jesus Christ on the inside, you can have exceedingly abundant, great joy no matter what your circumstances are. And God wanted you to know this message. That's why he wrote it in his book. God wanted the world to know. That's why he announced it with an angel and multitudes that joined him. And notice what the shepherds did after that. I mean, what would it be like for you? You heard this story. I mean, picture this. I mean, try explaining this to somebody. We were out in the fields just kind of tending sheep, and this angel showed up, told us he brought us good news of great joy for all the people. And there were like multitude of angels telling us we should go to Bethlehem. And here's what we're going to find, a little baby in cloths lying in a manger. But notice what they did in verse 15. After the angels had left, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Here's what they said. We want what they were announcing. We're going to go get it, right? And so when you hear a message like this at Christmas, it's not just for you to hear and say, "Hey, that was a nice message, Pastor Jeff." It's a message that says God's coming after you. He's always wanted you to be in relationship. And here's the question. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in him? Not I 200% believe this, but do I 100% place my faith in him? Have you ever done that before? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight before I close, is give you the opportunity to do that right where you're sitting. Nobody's going to come bother you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or walk an aisle or get literature or do anything else. I'm just saying right where you are between you and God, because he's here with us, as we close in prayer, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, to give you the opportunity to do that by just telling the Lord that you're a sinner, by believing that Christ died and rose for you, and by saying right now in this place, "Jesus, I want you to be the Savior of my life. I'm confessing you as my Lord. I believe you're the one and only way to the Father, and I want you." And for some of you that would say, "Well, then why did I come? I already knew all this stuff. I believe this already." Here's why you came, and you know it's already true. Because isn't it great to be reminded of the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord over all? I mean, isn't it wonderful to know that this story never gets old, that God reminds us all the time in his word that he loves us with an unconditional love? I mean, this is what gives us hope in this world. The older I get, the more funerals I do as a pastor. It's a joy to me when I can grieve at a funeral knowing that I still have hope about the person who died. Because when I know that the person knew Christ, it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you later. Right? When I know the person doesn't know Christ, I know it's goodbye, not only now, it's goodbye forever. Because we'll never see each other again. Right? Well, the reason Christ came is to give you eternal life. This is the dress rehearsal for what's to come. Make no mistake about it. You will live in an eternal place, either in heaven or hell, either in eternity with Christ because you've confessed him as your personal Lord and Savior, or apart from him in a place called hell because you on your own said, "I don't want that gift. I don't want anything to do with the gift. Get rid of the gift. Take it back. I'm going to live my life for me." And those are your only two choices. And so I want to end today by giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So if you just bow your head, close your eyes, and pray with me. Let's just go before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we're reminded of that time 2,000 years ago where you came into the world, that you were announced by an angel, where you were born in poverty, placed in a feeding trough, so that we who gather here in Denver tonight could hear of your great love with which you have for us. And if you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, and you say, "I need him," here's how you can pray. Jesus, I admit to you I'm a sinner, and that I'm separated from you. But I believe you died on the cross for my sin, and that you rose from the dead. And right now in this church, in this very moment, I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Father God, I pray for all who prayed that prayer, that as you save them in this moment and indwell them with your Holy Spirit, that they would experience your power and your newness in their life as they've been born again. And now for all of you who are here tonight who say, I know Jesus, I believe everything you're talking about, Pastor, I believe the word of God, then this is how you can possibly pray. Lord, remind everybody in here tonight afresh of how powerful and special it is that you sent your son Jesus to be our Savior. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit tonight so that we can enjoy you and give you praise now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.